All right, welcome to Skeptisquatch. My name is Tom, and on this channel, we are all about looking at the Bigfoot phenomena through skeptical but very open eyes. So keep an open mind whenever we do anything, whenever we listen to anyone. I've had an interest in Bigfoot ever since I was a young man, born in 1969, right when Bigfoot and all that stuff was really, really getting going. Seemed like there was a Bigfoot story every other week on the news when I was growing up. So it's certainly something I've had an interest in. I've read just about every book I could get my hands on, watched everything I can on Bigfoot. And I'm going to admit, there's some pretty cheesy, crappy stuff out there. But I have watched Legend of Boggy Creek, you know, all of the ones out there. Most recently, I've been watching, what's the dude's name? He does Mountain Beast Mysteries. I like him a lot. He's got a lot of insight, I think. He's another one that doesn't think that tree structures are all completely Bigfoot made, and I do not. Being a hunter, I spent a lot of time in the woods. I still spend a lot of time in the woods, and you can see a tree structure anywhere you want to go. I can take you to public land right now that is infested with people and show you tree structures, and you can't possibly explain that away as Bigfoot. As far as stuff that has happened to me, I've not had anything weird, super weird happen to me. Several occasions I've had things, you know, fly through the leaf litter at me, as I was squirrel hunting. So coming through the, I don't know what it would call, flying through the leaves in the air, rather large sticks, logs almost, came at me, maybe 1, 2, 3 inches in diameter. And never very big. It's certainly something that somebody could have thrown, but, you know, during the times that I was out there, it was highly doubtful anybody else was out there. I simply explained that away as, I was in the right place at the right time and, you know, limbs broke off a tree. There were several trees in the area that were rotten that certainly could have provided the fodder for that. Another things I've had, one time I was walking through the woods, I was actually sitting down and squirrel hunting. And I was on private property, but I looked across the property I didn't have permission to hunt on. I kept hearing a bunch of noise, like, if you're a hunter, you'll know what this is, but squirrels jumping from limb to limb. You can hear the leaves shake and the limbs move as they move about. And it makes a distinct sound. I kept hearing that, but it was very violently shaking. And looked through my scope and was able to see a tree on the other side, maybe... It was a sapling. It wasn't a legitimate tree, but it was a sapling just shaking super violently. I couldn't see anything actually shaking it. It was very thick, but it was shaking super violently. Can't explain that unless, you know, it was about August. Wasn't exactly September yet, but it was about August, and it could have been maybe a deer scratching the velvet off its antlers. Maybe it was a deer that lost its velvet early and maybe it was getting an itch. You never know. Anything could have been doing that. Maybe it was a raccoon playing. So anything could have done that. The thing that I cannot explain, though, is, like I said, I'm a deer hunter. I was in the same woods, and I had shot a deer right at dusk, jumped up and ran and was standing on the edge of a creek and actually tumbled into the creek when he passed away, when he died. Couldn't get him out. He had floated into the middle of the creek. Luckily, it wasn't super deep. I could still see him, but I didn't have enough rope on me. So I had to go home. I lived about a mile and a half away. Went and got the rope, came back, finally drug him out of the water. A wet deer is a heavy deer, let me tell you that. And got him out of the water and gutted him. And then, you know, I put him on a cart so I could drag him out. And right about that time, heard a very long, very low, very loud drawn out moan, and it was like, and it just kept going and going and going. I remember texting my wife and saying something just moaned at me super loud. I don't know how she couldn't hear it. That's how loud it was. And it like echoed through the woods. It was crazy. I've never heard anything like it or since. Oh, I do have one more thing too. I just remembered. Any case, I'll finish this one. Heard that long drawn out moan. Texted my wife, and I was probably 45 years old. I didn't have anything with me. Even if I did, I would have had the same reaction. I left the deer right there. It was going to be in the lower 30s that night, and I went home. It was November in Missouri. But what I don't get, if it was something, if it was a Bigfoot or something like that, which I have to say it wasn't, but if it was, it's a very populated area, very populated area. The land I was on, the forest I was on, I was hunting in is maybe 5 acres, and it backs up to maybe 80 acres of woods. And then that woods, you know, crisscrosses through everybody's yards and houses, tons of houses back there, and eventually leads to the Mississippi River. I was actually right along a creek that goes to the Mississippi River there in Missouri. But I still have to, just based on proximity, based on all of the people there, I can't, you know, it had to be somebody playing a joke on me. Another thing I just remembered, I actually used to live in Pennsylvania. I'm currently in Pennsylvania right now. Used to live in Pennsylvania, and I was deer hunting with a rifle on somebody's farm. And I had gone, and he wasn't with me that day, the guy that told me I could hunt there. But I had gone, I parked my car, I don't know, 700-800 yards from where I was sitting. I didn't walk in too far. And I was actually sitting on a field edge. And I remember when I sat down, and it was already getting light. It was probably, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:15, something like that. So it was already getting light, kind of like that grayish light. And from the time I sat down, probably for at least 45 minutes, a dog was barking. I could see the house where the dog was, and the dog was just woof, 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 constantly barking, would not shut up. And then, oh gosh, probably 45 minutes of that, I heard whoop, whoop, three whoops. It sounded like a whoop. Three of them kind of high-pitched. Three of them just, and it was obviously an animal. It wasn't an alarm or anything like that. And dog shut up, was silent for the rest of the day. Well, for the rest of like 45 minutes, because having followed Bigfoot stuff ever since I was a kid, I'm like, that's spooky as all get out, and I left the woods. So that's the few things I've had happen to me. But in any case, yeah, I've never had anything definitive happen to me. Nothing I could point out and say, okay, that's Bigfoot. I don't necessarily look at things through the same worldview as everybody else does. I have my own opinions, my own thoughts, my cultural upbringing, so to speak. So I look at things through a different viewpoint than most people do. Most people into Bigfoot will believe or are open to the idea of UFOs and ghosts and hauntings and that sort of thing. I don't necessarily believe in ghosts. I do think that there are things out there that people see that go bump in the night and that move chairs around and slam doors and walk up steps and stuff like that. But I don't think it is the spirit of a long departed person. I think it is something much more evil, much more sinister than that. And maybe someday we'll go into that. Speaking of UFOs, though, during the time that I did live in Pennsylvania, I was in an apartment on the eastern side of Pennsylvania. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I used to smoke, and I went out on my porch to smoke. And it was, I don't know, it was like an orange cylinder-shaped thing going across the sky very slowly. Certainly wasn't a comet or a meteor or an airplane. Going across the sky very slowly, dropping little orange balls. Woke my wife up, said, come look at this, and she stayed asleep. So what it was, I do not know. It certainly wasn't an airplane. Certainly wasn't something on fire crashing. So I do not know what it was. That is another unexplainable thing that's happened in my life in Pennsylvania. So now we're back in Pennsylvania and looking into hunting. Now, I'm going to admit, most of the Bigfoot sightings that are in Pennsylvania are 3, 4, 5 hours away from me, because Pennsylvania is a big state, wide state. Maybe someday, if I get up the courage, I'll go camping in those areas and see what happens, or even hunting in those areas. I personally do not want to see one, if there is one out there. Some of the people I've listened to in the past are Lauren Coleman, what's the dude's name? The Sierra Sounds. Those are creepy as all get out. Ron Moorhead, that's his name. I like Cliff from the Finding Bigfoot, Matt Moneymaker. Sorry, he is an idiot. I'm not a big fan of Bobo either, though I do like the podcast that him and Cliff have. Oh, and Sasquatch Chronicles. I listen to them frequently. I really like his shows. Or if you're not listening to that, look it up. It's Sasquatch Chronicles. I believe the guy's name is Wes. Phenomenal podcast. Love it. Bigfoot and Beyond. It's with Cliff and Bobo. But yeah, I would like to eventually get into doing interviews on here. I would love to talk to people that have had experiences, whether it's actually seeing one or just creepy things that happen in the woods. But yeah, that is pretty much why I'm starting this podcast. I've always been interested in Bigfoot, always, ever since I was a little kid. And, you know, I want to get into exploring it a little more, but not necessarily like people like Matt Moneymaker would, where everything is Bigfoot. He could walk through the middle of the city and see a footprint in the mud and think it's Bigfoot. So I don't want to be like that. I want to have an open mind to things, both things that aren't Bigfoot and things that possibly could be. All right, and to quote Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth.